Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to extend my appreciation to the panelists for providing an enriching discussion. This is one of an extremely important civil and political issue when we speak of proportional representation. And affirmative action has been a tool to make sure that marginalized are represented, particularly in education and employment and various other platforms of decision making or policy making. I do understand that there are different parameters that has been set in different states with regards to affirmative action. I don't represent any country here, but to make a reference, in India, affirmative action, which is also referred as reservations, the criteria initially was social and educational backwardness. However, in the last 70 years, the narrative of affirmative action has changed in India, and it is extended to women, indigenous communities, minorities, individuals belonging to geographically backward regions, also students who hail from vernacular background, and many others. However, in the recent past, specifically, I would like to refer to the Supreme Court judgment in the US. I strongly feel that I do take cognizance of judiciary being independent, but however, this judgment has set an extremely wrong precedent when we speak of proportional representation of marginalized communities. And we also have to take into cognizance that how affirmative action has been demonized as something as a tool which has snatched the opportunities from certain communities or individuals. This is strong stereotype and prejudice pertaining to affirmative action, saying how the non-deserving candidates get into universities, particularly in the context of education and employment. And there's a strong myth in terms of how merit is understood, the deserving and undeserving, which is extremely problematic, particularly in educational institutions. And we see affirmative action being implemented in state universities, public universities. However, there has been increase of private universities across the globe. And we also see depletion of financial support to public universities. So the increase of private universities and the vacuum of affirmative action in private universities has also created a stronger challenge and an obstacle for students from marginalized communities to access education. We have to see education as a tool of overall empowerment. And it is high time that special procedures, particularly various mechanisms and committees here in the UN, strongly engage with member states to pursue stronger policies in terms of affirmative action. There are several states where affirmative action is at place, but however, there is a long-standing gap in effective implementation of affirmative action. There are few states in Southeast Asia where affirmative action is extended to the majoritarian communities, the privileged communities, and not the minority or underrepresented communities, which is often not discussed in the mainstream narrative of affirmative action. And apart from education and employment, we also talk about judiciary, which is extremely important. And in several states, we don't see affirmative action in judiciary, where judiciary is a platform where we address social justice, and it's extremely important that there is proportional representation in judiciary. My last comments is that there has to be a constant serious engagement by mechanisms with member states, and I urge that member states should take cognizance of the idea of proportional representation, and also to break this narrative in academia, in activism, particularly in media, popular culture, where affirmative action is often demonized, and we should reflect and show that affirmative action is a policy which can translate representation or socioeconomic empowerment in a real sense. Thank you for your kind attention. And, yeah.